In Luke 14, on this thought of helplessness, thinking about a baby that can't even roll over and cannot help itself, Jesus brings us out that the kingdom of God is like a child. We must become like children. And he's making that point of kind of a helpless humility again. And I'll read just this part here that he talks about in Luke 18 and 19. Maybe I'll just ask some of you, do you boys have your Bible? Maybe you could help me. Why don't I'll just pick on the front row today. Chad, you want to start? Turn to Luke 18, verse 9, and about five of you read to verse 14. Try to read nice and loud. Here we have the story. He tells a parable of a story of two men that came down to pray. Now remember, we're talking about what is prayer and the attitude of prayer. And Jesus is teaching some principles about the effective prayer, what he's looking for in prayer. Go ahead, verse 9.
And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others.
Two men went up into the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee, and the other a publican.
The Pharisee stood and prayed thus to himself, God, thank thee, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, idolaters, or even as a publican.
I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess.
And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but swore upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Okay, we have these two men that Jesus gives the story of, a Pharisee and a publican, a religious man and a sinner. And the one Pharisee told God the things that he's done, the good things that he's done. And the publican, standing afar off, said just a seven-word prayer. That's all he said. He said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said that this man went down to his house justified. Jesus was not impressed with all the vain repetitions and the many beautiful words. Jesus seen right to the heart of that person, and Jesus says this later, or in a different place in Matthew 7, or 6, verse 7, when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So God is not looking for lots of words and to be able to have this poetic, flowing prayer that sounds nice and impresses people. God is looking for a heart that recognizes that we are needy and helpless and humble and need him. You know, as you all know by now, I have children. They're under feet and around here, and we love them. But all of my children so far, I think, have been err on the side of pretty independent and self-sufficient and think they can handle life pretty good. And that comes with its pros and its cons. But I've noticed that the attitude is the strongest when they're doing well and life is going good and they're healthy. You know, I can have my young one on certain things, does not want help, but certain things does not want help buckling a seatbelt or getting in or getting out or opening a door or carrying certain things. Wants to do it himself, which is fine. But there's an interesting thing that happens when these little children get themselves into a jam. They trip, they fall, they hurt themselves, they get lost. Something all of a sudden bad happens, whatever it might be. Someone is mean to them. You know what at that time is when they come running to mommy and daddy, and they're crying, they want help, they need comfort. And I think about that, unfortunately, as we people, older people, are often that way. We, as life is going well and we're doing good, the reality of our need of God tends to fade until something bad happens. We come rushing back to God. We're reminded that we're not in control. We're reminded that we need Him. We're reminded how helpless we are. And so as we grow and as we mature in our Christian life, it's just good to try to be intentional about that, to just remind ourselves that we need God, whether we feel like it or not, whether we're hurt or not, whether life is going good or bad, to just make a practice out of spending time praying to God and reminding ourselves that we're needy. No matter how skilled we are, how gifted we are, how much knowledge we have, how good we are with people, whatever we're good at, that we need to intentionally remember, remind ourselves, it's a discipline, that we need God. And it seems like the less we take time to remind ourselves out, the more distance that memory gets until we run into a brick wall and then we start all over again. But if we can remind ourselves daily and stay in the spirit of humility and God awareness, that is what conditions our heart to be in God's will. David and Job, a couple verses there, recognize that even without their, as amazing as these men were, they recognized, and that's maybe what made them so amazing, was that they recognized that even their own breathing depended on God. And we breathe all day long. Take it for granted. Job 33:4 says, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." And David says in Psalms 156, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." And so let's remember that we can't even take another breath without God's will or blessing upon our life. Well, I don't want to just preach on here, kind of skip around. Another ingredient, though, of prayer that is important, and I'll just make this point, maybe one or so more, is the ingredient that Jesus talks about as well is of faith. And that's another big subject. But the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And I don't know about you at your stage of life. Sometimes in life we feel more like we have more faith than other times. But I've experienced and I've been surprised at gray-haired men that I thought wouldn't ever struggle with that. Talk about kind of the battle of faith at times in their life. And I suppose that comes with seeing a lot of life and just not having answers for some of that. But I would like to be a man of great faith, but it doesn't always feel that way. But the good news about this is Jesus does say that without faith it is impossible to please Him. And that's a little bit intimidating maybe. But the good news is that it doesn't take very much. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's all it takes. And I want to read to you this little familiar story in Mark 9:20, where it says, "They brought him unto him a sick child, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon unto him? And he said, of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him, but thou canst do anything. Have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believed." And imagine Jesus just asked that question, then he just looked at the man. And I don't know how long the gap was in between there, but then verse 24 says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears running down his face, he said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And I get the picture of a father that is just grasping for faith and he's not sure how much it takes. He does believe that Jesus can do it, but he's wavering and he's not sure if Jesus will do it. And Jesus answers his prayer and heals that child. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. So God needs men and women that have a little faith. You don't need to be what in our minds a whole truckload of faith, but we need to have faith in God. Why does a sovereign Almighty God even want us to pray? Well, the last point I want to make here is almost kind of the opposite of maybe the story that I started out with. Those are the things that we like, those amazing stories of intercessory prayer. But I want to remind us that one of the reasons I think and believe that God wants us to pray is kind of maybe a little bit disconnected, I don't know if that's the right word, but a separate from the results of our prayers, whether they're answered or we know it or not know it, whatever all that is, that's up to God. But just the work that prayer does in our life, just for you, regardless of if they're answered or not, the discipline and the exercise of prayer, which that's what it is, it's a discipline and it's an exercise of prayer, strengthens and changes us. And often the things that you'll find in life that you are praying for, whether it's an enemy, whether it's a situation, whether it's results on the outcome of something, when you pray with a yielded heart, what happens, what moves and changes is our heart. It isn't the circumstances that I wanted, but now I'm okay with it. Now I'm surrendered to it. Now I can accept it. The results might stay how I didn't want them to be, but I become okay with that because I've aligned, it's aligning of my life. And the very Son of God, Jesus, that sitting in heaven, gave us that example in the garden. He prayed in his flesh to God, if there's some other way besides the cross, that this can happen, the salvation of man. You know, he cried out to God for that possibility. But he said, not my will, but thine be done. And it seems like that was a prayer that Jesus prayed, and then he aligned himself with God. God didn't take away the cross. God didn't take away that path and come up with some miraculous way otherwise. Jesus went through it. But it somehow conditioned Jesus' heart, prepared him, and strengthened him for the cross. And so that's actually probably one of the primary thought that was on my heart is, remember, even if you don't have an amazing 39 Warriors story, that prayer all by yourself is what gives you strength and life. And that's maybe one of the main reasons God has ask us to pray. I think I'll stop with that. Just those are a few thoughts that, as disconnected as maybe they are, I hope that they can encourage you or get you thinking about prayer and encourage you to exercise the discipline of prayer in your life. And it's like a muscle. The more you do, the stronger it becomes, and the less you do, kind of the weaker you become when you don't pray or do pray. We'll take a few prayer requests. Okay, do any of you have any prayer requests that you want to give?
Remember just to add to the ones you already have. Continue to pray for your current list.
Okay. So the list that you have yesterday, hopefully at least somebody in your group has that. I don't remember what all you prayed for, but I think it'd be good to pray for your teachers, the ones that are feeding you each day. That doesn't come all by itself. That takes a lot of work, effort, and prayers as well. So pray for your teachers. I'm sure you have been, but any that you all have. All right, I'm not going to hold you hostage today. I'm going to let you go. You can go to your prayer groups. Again, remember the groups out here when you come out. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.